Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking about the new San Antonio Dangerous Dogs Ordinance that gets tough on irresponsible dog owners. But first, the Rio Grande is tricky. Most of the time, the Border River looks peaceful and shallow. It would appear that it would be easy to wade across, but below the water's surface, there are swift currents, sudden drops, and obstacles that can drag a crosser under. And still, every year, thousands of desperate migrants take their chances and take on that crossing. Not all of them make it to the other side alive. An investigation by the Washington Post, along with Lighthouse reports and Mexico's El Universal newspaper, found that hundreds of people have drowned in the river more than the U.S. and the Mexican governments have reported. And nowhere in Texas have more people died than in Eagle Pass. Washington Post Texas correspondent Alessis Hernandez joins us to tell us more. Alessis, welcome to The Source.
Hey, David. Pleasure. Longtime listener. I'm glad to be on the show.
Well, I'm really interested in what you have to say about how dangerous it is to cross the Rio Grande. We've seen the videos of people, you know, forming human chains, coming across. But it's not evident. And I've seen, unfortunately, I've covered the recovery of bodies from the Rio Grande. And it's a sad and disturbing experience. But it seems to be happening more than the United States and Mexico would like to recognize. And in your reporting, you tell us that the Operation Lone Star, Governor Greg Abbott's $11 billion border security initiative, could be making that crossing more dangerous. Tell us more.
Yeah, the Rio Grande, there's a reason why in Spanish it's Rio Bravo, no? The wild river, or the tough river. It's completely unpredictable. You think that you're heading into shallow water because of the way it looks from the shore. When you reach about the midpoint, which is where the family in our story got into trouble, you realize that the river is much deeper, much swifter, and much more dangerous than you could have anticipated in trying to walk across the river. And unfortunately, our reporting showed that more than 1,100 people have drowned in that river between 2017 and 2023. In terms of Operation Lone Star, we've seen that as the border crackdown has ramped up, it has included a number of obstacles that have been put in barriers put in the river that experts are telling us are definitely making the crossing more treacherous. And what Governor Abbott and his supporters would say is, in fact, deterring people. The fact is people are continuing to come, are continuing to face those barriers. And what is happening is that people are continuing to drown.
Well, Governor Greg Abbott tries to frame Operation Lone Star and all the razor wire that he's put along the riverbanks. And some of that razor wire is under the water as well. You don't know it until you're on top of it. That's a hazard. But he's calling this a humanitarian effort, trying to prevent, you know, make people realize that they shouldn't cross the river.
Well, it's not stopping people is what we're seeing. In fact, I know that Governor Abbott himself has talked about Operation Lone Star stopping or deterring people, to use his words. But it is, in fact, as we show in our reporting, has a lot more to do with what Mexico is doing to stop people from coming to the river. The fact of the matter is that if you've reached the river at that point for any number of reasons why you haven't gone through any other legal or other relief, you're dead. You're at that point, you're going to cross the river. And if you don't know what's waiting on the other side to you, and there's razor wire under the river, or there are river buoys with netting that, you know, goes down to the riverbank or to the river floor, these are hazards that you don't anticipate that could ultimately end your life or help end your life.
A lot of the crossers that I've come in contact with, they are in bad shape. Some of them are on crutches. They're tired. They've been going through months of an ordeal. They went through the Darien Gap, as you mentioned in the reporting. These are not people who are at their peak. They're vulnerable for, falling during their crossing and not making it across. So I think that needs to be considered as well.
Yeah, that was something that we heard from so many of the migrants that we spoke to for this piece, as well as for the shelter operators in Piedras Negras and other parts of Mexico, who said the same thing, that when people finally reach this part of their journey, having, you know, dodged criminal groups or having escaped being held for ransom or kidnapped once or twice, that at this point, they are exhausted. Sometimes they'll stop at shelters and, you know, take a shower or eat something or, you know, tend to a sick or colic child. But most often they are so desperate to get across the river that once they reach that point, there is no holding back. There isn't a lot of thought, at least from the migrants that we spoke to, about, you know, water safety guidelines or anything like that. Occasionally they'll throw a rope across the river or choose to pay a smuggler to go in a raft or an inner tube. But at that point, people are probably at their most desperate.
So the question is the United States or Texas, are they using death, the risk of death, as a deterrent to tell people to not come to the United States or cross into Texas, even though they know people will try, and therefore they're willing to accept these deaths as the cost of doing business, not just crossing a river, but also crossing the deserts like in Brooks County?
So our reporting didn't actually, you know, get to an answer to that question. But what I can tell you is that in the research for this particular project, we talked to like dozens of researchers on this topic, that has historically been the modus operandi of border enforcement in general, that if you know it's dangerous, if other people have died, if the risk of death is high, that would then turn into a deterrence mechanism, an understated and perhaps unspoken deterrence mechanism for folks. But again, there is countless research and studies on this, not so much on the water, but certainly on land, that the more that it hasn't stopped people, that prevention through deterrence is, in fact, certainly not the safest way to guard the border, but it's not actually stopping people from coming.
And we haven't really had a fact-based, honest conversation about the human cost of these policies.
And that's what we sought to do here. Border Patrol, Customs and Border Protection have tried to calculate this number. And honestly, it is very, very difficult to get this number. And we're not, you know, we ourselves say this is not a final number in terms of like the death toll from 2017, 2023. Each county on the border has their own way of collecting the data. Same deal in Mexico. And you have to go from one justice of the peace to the next, collecting all of these and then ruling out duplication. It's a very labor intensive work. So it doesn't surprise us, and it didn't surprise the federal government that they didn't have the same numbers that we did. Nevertheless, it's really important that we get this number right.
And the families of the people who died, they rarely able to find out what happened to their loved one.
That's probably the most heartbreaking part of all this and what has spurred a lot of activism, I believe, and specifically in Maverick County, but as well as across the border in San Diego as well, is that, you know, these families lose contact, and sometimes they think that it's because, oh, my family crossed successfully and now they're in U.S. custody. But then 3 or 4 days will pass and they'll realize that something has gone wrong. And often it's other migrants who are informing families that their loved ones have passed away.
Aurelis Hernandez is a Washington Post correspondent for Texas. She is part of the team that reported on the new numbers that we now have for the number of fatalities of migrants crossing the Rio Grande, an investigation by the Washington Post, along with Lighthouse Reports and Mexico's El Universal newspaper. Aurelis, thank you so much for talking to us today. I appreciate your reporting.
Thank you for having me.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to hear about San Antonio's new Get Tough ordinance on dogs. It's now in effect. If you've got questions and comments, we want to hear from you. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. A new Get Tough on Dogs policy ordinance is now in effect in San Antonio. The city has seen numerous tragedies with vicious dogs recently attacking people, killing people, One recently has a one-year-old child was killed by dogs that was owned by the child's babysitter. District 7 Councilmember Marina Arlete Gavito tells has led the effort to rein in these roaming dangerous dogs, making irresponsible dog owners pay up. We're now joined by Councilmember Marina Arlete Gavito to tell us more and explain how this new ordinance works. And Councilmember, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me what the bottom line is for people. Like, what's changed?
Yeah, there was three big things that have changed. One, we are holding negligent dog owners accountable. So if somebody's dog continues to get out again and again, we are increasing the fines. The second time that dog gets out, they're going to now be charged $500. The third time that dog gets out, now going to be charged $750. That fine increase was dramatic. It needs to be. We need to be tough on this issue. The second big change is that any dog that ACS picks up will now be sterilized or spayed or neutered by ACS at the expense of the owner. And that's going to be huge. That's going to dramatically decrease our dog population and then, you know, hopefully decrease our euthanasia percentage.
Yeah, because all the dogs, they just keep breeding out on the streets.
They just keep breeding, right. And so we really need to get tough on spaying and neutering our dogs and changing that culture. The last big change is that we want to protect residents who want to report a dangerous dog. In the past, if you're reporting your neighbor's dangerous dog, you had to sign a sworn affidavit. So that neighbor knew you were calling on them. Now, under the pseudonym program, those neighbors can remain anonymous for a while.
All right. So why get tough? I mean, we've had some horrible nightmare examples of dangerous dogs attacking people. Yeah. Could this ordinance prevented those tragedies?
Yeah, well, this is a public safety issue. The loose and dangerous dogs in San Antonio is a public safety issue, and that's why we have to get tough on this. You know, we took multiple steps in the right direction. This is a huge step forward. I would say that there's still more work that needs to be done, but really getting to the root of the problem and having ACS spay and neuter dogs, that's going to curb some of this problem. Making sure residents feel safe when reporting a dangerous dog is going to help with this problem. And then also changing the culture of people letting their dogs out again and again by those increased fines is also going to change that culture.
So we had the incident in Ramon Najera. He was 81 years old. He died in February of last year after he was attacked by dogs on the west side. These were dogs that were known to be dangerous. Mm-hmm. People had called in to the city. In fact, the defense of the couple that owned the dogs when they were put on trial for these dangerous dogs was that they blamed the city for being too lax. That's why this happened. They didn't want to take responsibility.
Right.
They still blamed the city. But had these rules been in effect, do you think that that attack, that Ramon would still be alive today?
You know, that's a great question. I do think that when the reporting of these dangerous dogs would have been taken more seriously, that would have helped. You know, I know that some of those neighbors had called them before. And actually, I'm glad that you brought this instance up, because while I was on the campaign trail, I met his son, Ray Najera, and we were talking. He was having a barbecue fundraiser in the honor of his dad's death. And I committed to him at that time. I said, I'm going to do something about this problem. I'm not sure what it is, because I was campaigning. I wasn't an elected official yet. But this is such a serious problem. And, you know, he has also been working alongside me as a thinking partner on these policies in honor of his dad's death. You know, we should not have tragedies like that happen again.
Let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you got a question for District 7 Councilmember Marina Alderete Gavito about this new ordinance that's now in effect, we want to hear from you. Let's go to Chase. And Chase, you're on the air.
Hi. One of my neighbors was talking about these fines and said that the higher fines for loose dogs are going to just end up criminalizing poverty. How would you respond to that, and what should I tell them?
Chase, thank you for that great question.
Thanks, Chase, for that question. The biggest thing to tell them is that this policy is aimed at repeat offenders. So the policy doesn't change for the first-time offense. I mean, as a dog owner, we have to be responsible dog owners and make sure that you know, we have a properly fenced in yard and that our dog doesn't get out. I mean, if that dog is getting out again and again, you're going to face a charge. And again, this policy is aimed at repeat offenders.
Do people have a right to a dog or a dangerous dog?
You know, you can, if your dog does bite someone and they are deemed dangerous, they can still technically go home with you. Now, there are certain parameters that they have to take in place. They have to get a certain type of insurance. They have to have the dog muzzled every time they walk out. But it doesn't necessarily mean if you have a dangerous dog that it gets euthanized right away.
Yeah, but people seem to think, well, you know, I have a right to a dog. You know, I want to have a dog. You know, it's just a part of being human. Do I have a right to one?
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's actually one of the things that we're going to be looking at this upcoming legislative session, where we are trying to push that if you have a history of owning dangerous dogs that get out, then in the city of San Antonio, you can't own a dog anymore. We'll see how far we get it in the upcoming session, but that is something that we're looking into.
All right, let's go to another question. Daniel, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, my question for the councilwoman is, what exactly are you doing to make spay and neuter resources accessible and available before these animals get picked up by ACS?
Daniel, thank you for the question. So ACS, they do all these clinics all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Daniel, for that question. Actually, right when I was first elected in my first budget season, I pushed for a low-cost free spay and neuter clinic on the borders of District 7, 5, and 1, where we're seeing a lot of these problems. So that's actually going to be opening, I think, around the February 2025 timeframe at Las Palmas. So with that, we also added a new clinic on the east side, which I think is going to be opening at the same time frame. Spaying and neutering your dog is not cheap, you know, and so that's why we were very much pushing for low-cost free spay and neuter clinics around the city.
Right, and they do make these available. They have been historically available,
yep.
And I've heard from Animal Care Services that sometimes they have these clinics and they're not really well attended.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't.
Well, that and also, too, there's certain zip codes in San Antonio that qualify for free spay and neuter. You know, and we really want the culture to be that there's mandatory spay and neuter. We have to get our dog population under control.
All right, another caller, and Edward, you're on the air.
Hello. I first wanted to just applaud the efforts that got us where we are with the law as it's coming online. That said, I don't believe it goes nearly far enough, not even close. And David, thank you for asking the question that I'm about to ask as well. Is there a right to have a dog? I don't care if it's violent or not. Is there a right? No. Not in the Constitution, nor mm-hmm. Texas's Constitution. It is not codified. I would go further, not just violent dog owners. If you've ever been convicted of neglecting an animal, you may never own one ever again. I am very involved in rescuing animals, up, you know, busier at sometimes, you know, more of a hobby at other times. ACS is doing everything it can to help these people. It is.
All right. Thank you so much for that call, Edward. Appreciate it. Your response to that.
Edward, thank you for that question. And also, too, thank you so much for your work in rescuing dogs. I know it is a tough work. And actually, I just adopted a dog from ACS this past week. His name is Butter. He's so, so cute. But, you know, I think that your feedback is important, is if it goes far enough. You know, our challenge with this is that we needed to do something. This is a huge step in the right direction, but by no means is this the final solution. We're still going to keep doing work on this.
And let's go to another caller. Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you got a question about the new dangerous dog ordinance, it's now in effect. It was passed unanimously last week by the San Antonio City Council. The City Council was taking this situation seriously, but there's a huge education component that has to happen in order to get the community up to speed on what these changes are. If you got a question, give us a call. Let's go to Henrietta on the phones. Hi, Henrietta, are you there? Is she there? All right. Oh, let's put her on hold and see if she comes back. All right. So the question that I've seen I know you were at Woodland Lake on Saturday, right? You had like an event in the rain.
Yeah, we had a tree planting and giveaway.
Yeah, I saw that because I was doing my run around Woodland Lake and I saw you guys out there, even in all the in the miserable weather you were out there. But people dump their dogs at Woodland Lake all the time. You know, I see lost dogs, some just didn't want to take care of anymore, and they just dump dogs. Is there a way that those dogs, are they picked up? Are they checked for chips? What happens with that?
Yeah. Well, so that's actually how I ended up with Butter. I mean, I am constantly picking up dogs at Woodland Lake, calling ACS, having them picked up. And there was two dogs, and they were blocking the street. A car was honking at them. They followed me home. I fed them. And again, that's how I ended up with Butter. But, you know, there is a problem with people dumping dogs. You know, there are signs posted that the fine can be up to $2,000. But that doesn't seem to stop people. So I do think that that is a huge issue that we're also going to be looking at, is how we prevent people from dumping dogs.
Well, could we have a better way to allow people to surrender dogs?
Right.
So that they're not just dumped in the park.
I'm glad that you're mentioning that. That is something that we've been ideating on, is if there's a central location for people to give up their dog, that would actually free up ACS resources, because now they're having to go chasing a dog down in a park, a huge wide open park, is not easy, you know? And so having our ACS patrol officers respond to these calls, chasing dogs around parks, I don't think is necessarily the best or most effective way.
And even in the meantime, before ACS even gets to the scene, I mean, you have a dog who's running around unleashed, no owner, and causing trouble with people who are walking their dogs peacefully. Yep. And this is a dog that hasn't been acclimated to that environment. It's a problem. I've seen it over and over again.
Right, it is. And also, too, I mean, people have their own lives. You know, I have been very reserved on taking in a male dog because I have a male dog, you know, and I'm not wanting them to fight. And I also have a cat, you know, and I don't want a loose dog that I'm picking up to kill my cat, you know. So it's a problem. And so that is something that we've been ideating on with the interim ACS director, Mike Shannon.
All right. So let's go to Henrietta. And Henrietta's back on. Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay, go ahead now.
And first of all, I thank the councilwoman, because it's not an easy task to do, and she's doing a great job of that. But also, I would like to know, what about the skunks? There's too many skunks, and, you know, they carry rabies, you know, and I'm afraid of skunks, you know.
All right. Yeah. Well, there's a unlimited supply, inexhaustible supply of skunks in San Antonio.
That's right. Thanks, Henrietta, for the question. You know, it's kind of the same reason why we didn't necessarily go after cats. Cats and skunks aren't too dangerous. The dogs are dangerous when they get into packs. You know, they chase runners, they chase kids, they become aggressive. So that's why we're aiming for dogs.
I used to trap the skunks that were around my house and take them out to El Monte, you know, and drop them off there.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, more and more. They just keep coming.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and Henrietta's right. They do carry rabies, they are a nuisance, especially during their season when they put out their, the aroma.
Yes. No, you're right. I mean, you know, we have not looked at the skunk problem. Again, they haven't been too dangerous for us. But I mean, I think that is something that ACS should look into.
Right. So we're going to take a break here. We're going to continue our conversation. Callers, we'll get you on the air. We're talking about San Antonio's wild dog population, irresponsible dog owners, a Get Tough ordinance that was passed by San Antonio City Council that will try to rein this problem in. But will the municipal courts cooperate? Will these fines be held up? These are a lot of questions that people have. We have a council member from District 7 with us. She has led the fight on this. It's not an easy fight because a lot of people have an emotional attachment to their animals, and I don't blame them, but we got to think about public safety. We have to avoid further tragedies. Marina Aldarete Gavita will continue to take your calls right after this break. Stay with us. The This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about San Antonio's Get Tough Dog ordinance, now in effect, passed unanimously by the City Council last week. This will have forced sterilizations for dogs that are picked up off the street. Also, it'll fine dog owners, a much more serious fine for irresponsible dog owners if their dog bites someone. You can issue fines all day long, but, you know, will those fines be paid? Is that going to actually be a deterrent for people? That's part of the question. There's a whole education part of this new policy that has to go into effect. And we also are taking your questions and comments about how you have been dealing with dangerous dogs in your neighborhoods. Have they kept you from being able to use the public streets for walking and running, exercising? We should be able to use our streets and sidewalks without fear. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. I got an email question for District 7 Councilmember Marina Alderete Gavito. He asked, can a citizen use deadly force if they're confronted by what they think is a dangerous dog?
Thank you for that question. I would suggest calling 911. If you ever feel you're in a dangerous situation, have a dangerous dog, then yeah, I would call 911 to handle. And I think that's about all I'll say on that.
Yeah, I mean, people think, well, I'll just shoot the dog.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Not because of, you know, you don't know how that's going to work out. I've seen read stories of people thinking they're going to shoot a dog, but the bullet ricochets and it hits someone else, and you don't want to do that. So there are better ways of dealing with this, and the San Antonio City Council is trying to make sure that you don't have to resort to those kind of measures.
Sure.
Let's go to a caller now, and then we have Joel. Joel, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is, what role does – we're talking about education and awareness – how can we increase awareness of best practices in dog training? I think training has a big part in whether or not a dog becomes dangerous, and I think it's a big part of being a responsible dog owner. So how can we increase awareness of best practices for dog training, not only so that they don't become dangerous dogs, but even little things like picking up after your dog if you're out on a walk? Mm-hmm. There's tons of apartment complexes, you know, sidewalks that turn into a mess because of this sort of thing. So what are your comments on that?
All right, that's a great question. So how do we help San Antonio make their dogs less dangerous?
Yeah, thank you, Joel, for that question. And actually, that was brought up by one of my council colleagues last Thursday as well. There does have to be a huge education campaign, not only about the proposed policy changes, like the increased fine, but also about how to be a responsible dog owner. I mean, luckily, I will give credit where credit's due. ACS has very good social media following, and so we've been talking to them about putting these messages on what it means to be a responsible dog owner, having your fence, making sure that your fence is fully lined, making sure that you are picking up poop, making sure, you know, you're taking all these steps to be a responsible dog owner. So that will be part of the education push.
Another caller, and we have, this is Kim. And Kim, you're on the air.
Hi. So I'm very active with animal care and animal rescue in my neighborhood. And in that capacity, I've worked with ACS on a lot of cases. So I wanted to make a comment in response to the person who made the point about criminalizing the poor with these increased fees. And so this may be something, Councilwoman, that you're not aware of, and I'm not positive it still exists, but I've been told by ACS that they have a program where ACS officers will actually come out and help people fix fences as a way to, you know, mitigate issues. You know, there are a lot of elderly people who can't fix their own fences, so I was wondering if you know if that exists or not. And then the other question, kind of related, is free spay neuter services are fantastic. We really need them, but a lot of people do not have transportation to get to them. And so I don't know if there's an official way to help with that. I want to encourage neighbors to sort of keep an eye on your neighbors and know, like, hey, their dog keeps having puppies. Maybe talk to them about helping getting their dog spayed and neutered.
All right. Thank you for that comment, Kim. And so your response, council member?
Yeah, Kim, thank you so much for that comment. And also thank you so much for what you do to help rescue dogs. Again, I know it is no easy feat. In regards to fixing fences, I don't know off the top of my head if ACS has such a program. I've heard them say that they will help out every once in a while, but I'm not sure that there is an official program in place. I am reminded of a resident who came to visit me at the field office. She was legally blind, and she had her service dog, and she would have to catch the bus right near St. Cloud and Woodlawn area. And every time she would come out of her fence with her service dog to go to work, to catch the VIA bus, you know, some of the loose and dangerous dogs would attack her service dog. And so here she is trying to live independently, breaking up fights between dogs, you know, and her service dog. And you know, it's just so horrific. And she was saying, hey, if I can make sure my fence is fixed, everyone else can make sure their fence is fixed as well, which is true. And I understand that there are certain circumstances where, you know, maybe it's a low fence and the dog jumps over it or whatever. And I'd urge people to reach out to their council member's office to see if there are nonprofits that can help with this. Again, I'm not sure if ACS has an official program around this, but again, I'd urge them to reach out to their council member's office because there are
ways.
We
would need a bond issue to deal with all the messed up fences that we have in San Antonio. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot.
There are a lot, you know, and there are neighborhoods where you do see smaller yards, shorter fences and stuff. But again, if you want a dog, you need to make sure that it's fenced in.
Yeah, I have an email here from a listener. Kamala Platt says, I was dismayed to hear that San Antonio's city council's solution to dangerous dog attacks was to increase fines on owners. The fines equal the monthly income for some friends on fixed income, and fines for already economically vulnerable dog owners will do nothing for our neighborhood animal safety. San Antonio doesn't need more punitive money-grabbing measures so much as it needs to offer financial and other support safety net for responsible pet ownership across the city at the short end of the economic spectrum. So again, someone who's concerned about the impact this has on the low income in San Antonio.
Yeah, thank you for that question. You know, really what we needed to do here is to change the culture of dog ownership in San Antonio. Too many people open their fence, let their dog out for the day, and then come back and have it at home at night. And we have to change the culture. We have to say that that is not okay. If you also think about the expense the city faces with our taxpayer dollars, an ACS patrol officer is having to go out and get that dog again and again and again. That is an ineffective way to use all of our taxpayer dollars. So again, this policy is aimed at repeat offenders, those negligent dog owners who are all of our neighbors and they keep letting their dogs out again and again. The fines imposed are really meant for them.
A lot of people insist that they need a dog. A dog is an important part of their life because of home security. Mm-hmm. You know, they're worried about their homes being broken into. They're worried about being victimized. And by having a ferocious animal, that they're able to protect themselves. I mean, it could be a symptom of other things as well. I mean, if we're able to, you know, deal with crime mm-hmm. and public safety, maybe people won't feel like they need a dangerous dog.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, I have three, I call them San Antonio's finest, right? Three stray dogs. I totally understand people's need and desire to want dogs. But there's also the need and desire to be a good neighbor and make sure that you're being responsible when having a dog, making sure that you your yard is fenced in properly, making sure that they're not trained to be dangerous. And that is just being, you know, a good neighbor.
Right. So when someone says, I need this dog for my protection, then you say, well, then you need a fence.
Yep.
You need to keep your dog leashed or
right.
somehow so that it doesn't get out.
That's right.
But, you know, some people, I mean, they don't, you know, we had the caller saying, well, let's train our dogs not to be dangerous and they can train them to be friendly. And someone will say, well, I don't want a friendly dog. It's part of our culture mm-hmm. in San Antonio. We have a hell of, I was in HEB mm-hmm. this weekend, and I saw several people. They weren't service dogs. They were just dogs. Mm-hmm. They're bringing into the HEB, walking around the counters and everything and the food items and going, what's going on here? Why are we allowing dogs into our grocery store?
Yeah.
And it's just part of San Antonio's culture. It seemed yeah. like it needs to. And it just, you know, no one batted an eye.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, what's happening here?
Yeah. I mean, I think it is interesting. I mean, you're seeing dogs everywhere. Dogs are great companions. You know, I used to have one of those tiny dogs. She was a Chihuahua Shih Tzu. Her name was Chiquita. I think half of San Antonio probably has a dog named Chiquita, right? We all name our dog either Chiquita or Sweetie. But, you know, I think that dogs make great companions. Some people use them as security. I see that too. You know, little Chihuahuas make great alarms. You know, they'll let you know if anything's there. And so, but again, if you're going to have a dog, it is, you have to be a responsible dog owner.
So that's what makes it so tough for you, because here you are thinking about public safety, but mm-hmm. then people are coming saying, you know, these dogs are part of our lives. This is part of San Antonio culture, and they think they should have accommodations.
Well, yeah, and honestly, in the past, we may have gotten away with people letting their dog out and then coming back at night. But our city's growing, and we have to get tough on this.
And we've seen some terrible...
We have seen terrible tragedies. We can't wait for something worse to happen. That's
it. All right, so got some more callers on the board. Tiffany, I'm going to get you on the board on the air as soon as we come back from this break. And if you're listening, you want to call in, if you're in favor of this dog ordinance, Get Tough Dog Ordinance, it's a part of the books right now. What needs to happen to make this a success? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about San Antonio's new ordinance that gets tough on dogs, trying to make San Antonio safer, trying to end this threat that we have of vicious, dangerous dogs attacking people. And what can be done about that? It's up to the owners, and the San Antonio City Council is going to hold owners accountable, that there is going to be a learning curve. And so what questions and comments do you have about that? We're joined in the studio by Council Member Marina Alderete Gavito to tell us more about that. But first, let's get to a caller, and we have Tiffany. And Tiffany, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. My question is with the actual instructions that are given to the people that are trying to enhance the neighborhood or talk about or report a bad dog. We're geared to calling 311. And when we call them, there is no response time. Sometimes you can call them repeatedly and they don't respond at all. Is there something that can be put into place so that we receive some notification? So someone says, yes, we were out there, to get back in touch with us, to follow up, because right now you can call and nothing happens. Thank you.
All right, Tiffany, thank you for that. So is 311 where you would call if you see a dangerous dog in the streets?
Yeah, you know, Tiffany, thank you for that feedback, and you're not wrong. Yes, 311 is where you can call to report this.
And you can take a picture with your smartphone of the dog, and you could forward that in your complaint.
On the app, yeah. But this isn't the first time we've heard about the lack of follow-up from 311. So, Tiffany, if you want to bring this offline and contact my district office directly, we'd love to file tickets on that. But that is something that we've heard about, and we've pushed on the 311 team to follow up with the residents so that we can know, hey, are these dogs picked up? Are they not? You know, sometimes I call in 311 just to check the system. And yes, I can attest to that. So
let's go to Lillian on the phones. And Lillian, you're on the air.
Yeah, I've been listening and I've been enjoying it. I think this is an important thing to do for San Antonio. But I do think, you know, that stupidness where people say, well, I have a right to have a dog, you know, that doesn't say anything. You have a right to have a dog, but you don't have a right to let them kill people. Mm-hmm. You have a right to have a car, but you can't get in it and drive through crowds of people and say, well, I have a right to do this.
Right.
So that's just not even, shouldn't even be discussed. Just say that's stupid.
Yeah.
But what I would really like to see happen is I would like to see the city, there's lots of groups of people who are really dog people, and they want to see dogs be a better thing in San Antonio. So maybe we could build a group who would get together and go to these subdivisions where there's dogs running around and do classes and say, here's what you do to make your bad dog a good dog.
All right. Well, thank you for that call, Lillian. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you, Lillian, for that feedback. And you're right. There are so many wonderful animal advocates here in the city, and we've met with several of them. I mean, there's a lot of stakeholders on this issue. And I think it's a great idea for some of them to band together and maybe make it to some major neighborhood association meetings or neighborhood events to say this is what responsible dog ownership looks like. I know that we've had different nonprofit organizations that help out with animal rescues attend our events, Footbridge Foundation, Animal Defense League, you know, others that have really helped educate people on what responsible dog ownership looks like. So that's a great idea. Thanks, Lillian.
So the other end of these fines is that they would have to go to municipal court and pay these fines.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some research that shows of the fines that have been issued to irresponsible dog owners so far in San Antonio, only about 10% of those dollars are actually collected. People just say, well, I got $1,000. I'm not going to pay that. Mm-hmm. And they just go about their business. Fines me nothing if there's no collection and there's no follow-up. So what's going to happen on that end?
Yeah, that's a great question. Enforcement is an important part of this equation as it is to pick up these dogs in the first place. Back in March, my team and I hosted a public safety town hall focused on this dog issue. And one of the things we did is we brought in the municipal court's judge who mostly hears these animal cases, Judge Gonzalez, so that they could hear the frustration in people's voices about the negligent dog owners who are their neighbors not being held accountable. And I was so grateful that one of my team members suggested that we bring in municipal courts, because ACS kind of gets beat up about this issue all day long, right? But municipal courts is just as accountable in this whole problem. And so I also had sent one of my team members to observe court four, where a lot of these cases are heard. And what we did see is that, you know, oftentimes municipal courts was not doing enough on these cases. And so we have really stressed the need for municipal courts to be taking these dog issues seriously and enforcing the fines. There's not a lot of wiggle room there.
All right, let's go to Michelle on the phones. Michelle, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to make a comment with regard to educating the public about letting their dogs loose. I just want to say that negligent dog owners, in my opinion, are not going to go to the meetings. They're either working too hard or they're just ignoring it or whatever. And as much as I hate killing trees, I think the most effective awareness and education would be to have flyers printed up and put in Spanish and in English on people's doors all the information that they should have about this particular issue. And maybe that way, and then of course, if people are going through the neighborhoods putting these flyers on people's doors, they need to be carrying the pepper spray with them, because we just got finished, my husband and I, doing a Meals on Wheels, and there were at least 5 loose dogs out, and some of them with collars.
Yeah, now, I see that all the time. The dogs have collars.
Yep.
You know, they belong to somebody. These dogs are well fed.
Mm-hmm.
My sister used to call every night in the neighborhood doggy disco. They would just everyone would let their dogs out and run out through the streets.
Yeah.
And it was a problem, you know. Yeah. So what can be done about that, particularly when, you know, as the caller points out, the people who are irresponsible dog owners, either they're overstressed through everything else we have going on in life, or they just don't give a damn.
Well, you know, people might be surprised to know 90% of the dogs picked up by ACS are owned dogs. They have owners.
So then they pick them up.
Right.
Okay, now they're going to sterilize them, right? But then they give them back?
Well, they'll give them back with a citation. You know, there's now going to be a citation of saying, hey, your dog got out. It took ACS patrol officer to come and get it. And now there's going to be fines, which is, again, what we want. And hopefully that first fine will.
At what point do you stop giving the dog back?
Yeah, that's a great question. Right now, you know, we have increased the fines on the third offense.
And particularly for a dog who presents itself as a dangerous dog.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think that is a fair question. I mean, that leads us to the bigger question of at what point can we say, hey, you're an irresponsible dog owner. You cannot own a dog in the city of San Antonio.
But then the state has laws that we're also confined by. Mm-hmm. And according to the state law, these dogs are considered personal property.
That's right.
And by taking the dog, that is a taking, mm-hmm. and you have to have due process, and that's a whole nother bag of worms.
That is a whole nother bag of worms. And so that's why we are going to be partnering with our statewide elected officials. And I will have to give a shout out to State Senator Jose Menendez. He was so instrumental in helping us craft this policy and talking through it. Of course, we know that, you know, he had filed that bill last year that to criminalize people who have dangerous dogs, and it was vetoed by the governor. So that's why we took it into our own hands and checked what we could do at the municipal level. I also do want to say, you know, I mean, while I was on the campaign trail, I was chased by a loose dog.
And I hear from candidates all the time.
It was scary, you know. I mean, this dog, it was not a fully lined fence. She came out and just hauled butt towards us, and, you know, we're running. But also, too, you know, like, we have the support of the letter carriers union, you know. Yeah. I mean, this is something that they have to face constantly, and so it's a lot of us, whether it's delivery Meals on Wheels, whether it's letter carriers, whether you're a candidate,
UPS drivers, everyone who goes to your
house. All of us.
I'm gonna get one last caller in here, squeeze it in. Bonnie, I'm gonna get you on the air. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. I just want to say everyone's had great suggestions, and this is such a deeply entrenched issue for all of us in our neighborhoods that I would really encourage you, David, keep this discussion going and make it a recurring discussion, like a regularly recurring broken record kind of thing, just so that irresponsible dog owners are going to see this issue isn't going to go away. This issue isn't going to go away, and people are always going to be looking at it and looking for solutions and reminding irresponsible dog owners, you know, we're not going to stop. You're going to have to change.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we need a new head of the animal care services. Mm-hmm. So how's that looking?
Yeah, they just hired one. He starts on December 30th, Jonathan Gary. And I think he's moving to San Antonio now. I'm not sure where it's at, but we're excited about him coming on board. Bonnie, thank you so much for your feedback. This issue impacts people's daily lives. And like I said, it is a public safety issue. And so that is why we're going hard on this. This is a huge step in the right direction. But by no means are we done. We're going to have to hold negligent dog owners accountable and making sure that our community is safe for all of us.
Yeah, and we'll keep the issue alive. We'll have the new ACS director on the air when he comes on. And I'm sure he's gotten the message. So this is going to be a priority. Public safety is a huge priority with animal care services and trying to also be a compassionate, caregiver when it comes to dealing with the animals in the city of San Antonio.
Right.
So I want to thank District 7 Councilmember Marina Alderete Gavito for coming on board today and telling us about what's happening, what's changing. This is now in effect. It's now enforced. People need to keep their dogs safe and secure and inside their gates, inside their fence. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.